This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Get your journey started today at NILGameChangers.org. We bring in, going on 21 seasons together, Dick Girardi. Sir, welcome. It must be at least refreshing to talk basketball after the Triple Crown season.
Indeed, Steve, yes. Happy to talk some hoops with you today.
Yes. So let's talk about Jerry West now. Because, you know, obviously watching Jerry West, all my Jerry West was on TV. But, you know, this guy personified winning at all these levels, and now, you know, he's going to end up being inducted into the Hall of Fame for a third time this particular year. What are your thoughts on what Jerry West meant to the sport of basketball?
Steve, he was probably the first of the great two-way players before that was even a term. Right. I mean, he was regular on all defense, which didn't come out, I don't believe, until the 70s in the NBA. But a prolific scorer, he actually averaged, this is kind of hard to believe, 46 per game in a playoff series?
Yeah.
I mean, really? That's just crazy. So there's that. And then there's the, how about this? You'll love this. The 1958 all-visiting Palestra team. Jerry West, West Virginia, Oscar Robertson, Cincinnati, and Wilt Chamberlain, Kansas, were on that squad. So there's that. And, you know, it's fascinating. And you mentioned he's going into the Hall of Fame now for a third time. This time as a contributor, obviously, for what he did as a general manager and a scout with the Lakers and a number of other teams. He's also in as a player for his college and NBA days, and was a member of the legendary 1960 Olympic gold medal winning team, where he and Oscar Robertson were the starting backcourt, and that team went in into the Hall of Fame. But you know, Steve, for all of that, Jerry West was a tortured soul.
Yes,
he had so many close calls. Right, he lost the, as a junior, West Virginia lost the NCAA championship by a point to the University of California. All those Laker teams that were in game sixes and sevens against the Bill Russell Celtics that just would lose, like have a shot to win one series. Frank Selby missed the shot. Everybody wishes West had taken it because his nickname was Mr. Clutch. And, you know, he finally won. They beat the Knicks with Wilt the year they won 33 games in a row, which is still an NBA record. But, yeah, I mean, and then I think back even to the mid-90s when he was running the Lakers. And, of course, he ran the Showtime Lakers in the 80s and won all those championships. In the mid-90s, he's got, I want to say, like, Charlotte had picked 13 or 14.
Yeah,
and
that
said,
sounds,
you know,
right.
What?
Yeah.
You Vlade Divac for that pick. And they said, really? Vlade Divac? And they said, okay. So they got the pick, and he got Kobe Bryant. Not bad.
Well, yeah, well, again, it's his eye for talent, because I thought Nick Van Exel put out a great tweet today. Like, no, nobody else thought he could really play. He said, Jerry West thought he could play. So that's why he picked me. Right.
Yeah,
well, Kobe Bryant's 18. He's out of Lower Merion. He falls that far in the draft. He not only thinks he can play, but you also have to have an eye if you're a GM of the people around him. He gets Robert Horry to come in. That's a pretty good pickup.
Yeah, and that was only the second year that of the modern draft where high school players could go back in. Kevin Garnett, you remember, had been taken the year before,
yep.
But he was a big man. They're going, well, you know, you can't take guards out of high school. It's insane. And I will say this. I saw Kobe play a number of times, Steve, and I didn't see it. I mean, he was really good. I did not envision what happened at all. Yes, that's why you give credit to Jerry West, who has all those great nicknames, the logo and Mr. Clutch, but yeah, among many of them, should be just one of the great talent evaluators and a guy who understood how to put together a winning basketball team. He had to do it at all those levels. It's really unprecedented. There's nobody in the history of basketball with a career remotely like his.
Well, in fact, you know, to back up what Dick says, I mean, like the first 2 years that Kobe Bryant played in the NBA, he was okay to good. It wasn't until his third year, which would have been his junior year in college, where he really started to take off and be Kobe. I mean, that's you know, sports is filled with mythology, and that's part of it.
Yeah, and I think what Jerry West saw was the incredible will to be great, which Kobe had in high school. But as you said, he's 18 going into the NBA against men, and he didn't know, and nor should he have known, how to do certain things. And over time, he figured it out, and then obviously went on to be one of the greats of his generation, one of the greats of all time. So, yeah, and I don't know that Jerry West saw all that, but he saw enough that he was willing to give up an all-star player for a young kid out of a high school, frankly, that plays in a not a great league. In fact, I saw him play against Roman Catholic. I want to say it was his junior or senior year at Drexel. They got run off the floor. I mean, they weren't good enough to compete with the very best high school teams. They did win a state title, but that's PIAA. That's not playing against the Philadelphia Catholic League, which were not those teams were not able to play in the state tournaments back then. He credit to the. Obviously, credit to Kobe more than anybody because he had to put in the work to do it, but somebody had to see it. And that was, people were questioning him, like, what are you doing? Well, he obviously knew what he was doing.
Yeah, no, he knew exactly what he was doing. As a player, he's at West Virginia. You mentioned they go to the title game. Cal beat him by one. He and Robertson are the co-captains of the 60 Olympic team. They get a gold medal in Rome, right? But then when he goes to the Lakers, he's got Elgin Baylor initially. Then they eventually acquire Wilt Chamberlain. What was it about him where he adapted to people around him to play the game? Because you never heard about any problem between Jerry West and, quote, the other stars on the team.
No, you really didn't, Steve. And I don't think I ever saw him play in person. It's possible I saw him play at the old Baltimore Civic Center against the Bullets, but when he was on the Lakers, I don't have any memory of having done that. Obviously, I saw him on TV like you did. I just think he was a guy. He wasn't. He didn't demand the ball. He wasn't that kind of guy. He was in the NBA. He would have been more like a shooting guard. In college, he was more what we would call today a small forward. Yeah. But a great rebounder and a great defender, and I think he could just adapt to whatever the situation was. And like you said, you're talking about two of the all-time greats that were his teammates. First, Elgin Baylor for the bulk of West's career, and then Wilt nearer the end. And then that team that actually won the 33 in a row and finally won the title, Baylor retired right before the long winning streak. He wasn't on that team.
Right.
West and Chamberlain were the stars of that team, and the 33 in a row. The Heat team came. What did they get? The 27.
Yeah, 27. Yep.
Yeah, they got close, but I mean, and if you think about it, in the era when they did it, that's pre-charters. That's when there would be a game in City A one night and City B the next night, and you would get up at 5 a.m. and get on a commercial flight. Fly in and play, so that much harder to win. It isn't like now where you're flying out on a charter and staying at a 5-star hotel.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 33 in a row in that era of the NBA is pretty astonishing.
And I think correct me if I'm wrong about this, I think it was a Sunday game on ABC with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and the Bucks that finally snapped the 33-game winning streak. I think that sounds right.
I think I remember reading or knowing something about that, but I don't remember. I might have watched it, but I don't, I don't remember that part.
I remember. I remember watching. Yeah, I remember watching the game. It was like, you know, but I mean, again, that's just, you know, who knows? I mean, it's 1972, whatever it was.
Well, right, it had to be 71-72 season. So what, 52 years ago?
Yeah, 52 years ago.
They beat the Knicks. They didn't beat the Celtics for the title. They beat the Knicks in five games.
Right, and I'll get to the Knicks here in a second because Don Nelson hit a shot in the Forum to then rip their heart out in 69 from the corner. And
it bounced over the backboard and then came down and went into total brick.
It wasn't Havlicek or Russell or Sam Jones. It was Don Nelson. But then in 70, they get the Knicks. We got it. Game seven.
Yep.
And, of course, the magic of Willis comes out. Right, Willis Reed comes out, scores the first bucket, place goes crazy, scores the second bucket, place goes crazy, never scores again, and everybody forgets that Clyde Frazier at 36.
they forget that he was the dominant player. And by that time, you know, West had been in the league for over 10 years. He was probably 33 or 34. He wasn't the same player. I mean, he's still very good, but he wasn't the player he was early in his career. Because if you think about it, Steve, guys in their early 30s back then, their careers were done because they don't have what athletes have today. Like LeBron James could not have happened back then because there just isn't the kind of medical devices they can use. It just wasn't happening. It just, like 14 years, which I believe is what West played, was a long time to play in that era of the NBA, a really long time.
And not only that, but I mean, John Havlicek, who would be a couple years behind him, but just a couple. I mean, he had to sell insurance in the offseason during the 60s.
Exactly.
I mean, these guys
were making big money at all back then. Yeah, there were no $50 million a year contracts. Yeah. Hell, the people kind of listening to this are going, that didn't happen. But the NBA playoffs were up on tape delay.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Sunday, maybe you could watch a live game. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. I'll do that.
That was correctly. Different time, man. Completely different time.
Ask yourself why Will Chamberlain's 100 points happened to be against the Knicks and Hershey.
Exactly. I actually saw some games in Baltimore where they had doubleheaders, where they would bring in two other teams to play before the Bullets would play whoever they were playing, just to try to draw fans. I mean, it's like, no, that can't happen, man. It's just... People see what it is today. What are they signing, a bazillion-dollar contract with three or four different networks? And guys like Jerry West are the guys that laid the groundwork for all this.
Exactly.
And by all accounts, was still active. He worked for the Clippers up until the end. Was still involved in every imaginable way.
Eight NBA titles, in fact, as an executive. Along the way. I have to ask you about Danny Hurley. He makes the choice, like Mike Krzyzewski decided to stay at Duke. Mm-hmm. Initially, Billy Donovan was staying at Florida. He stays at UConn. What was your thought on the pursuit of him and what he ended up deciding?
I wasn't surprised that it ended that way. He had nothing to lose by going to talk to the Lakers. Maybe they could have made him an offer he couldn't refuse, or that really is what he wants to do someday. Yeah. But clearly, whatever the offer was, he thought, you know what, I have it really good. Why don't I just stay where I am? I'm a Northeast guy. I don't know what factor his family would have been or not been, but as you know, he's a Jersey City guy. Like, Connecticut is far away for him from Jersey City.
Yes, it is.
So, yeah, I think that was, my guess is that was part of it. And, I mean, if you think about it, even with the craziness that's going on in college sports now, the good teams are still going to be the good teams, right? I don't know why that's going to change all that dramatically. And he's got it going at a place where you are the sport. You have incredible support. He can win forever there. And let's say he really does want to coach in the NBA. He's not even 50.
Right.
there's plenty of time if that's what he wants to do. But, yeah, I just think he looked around and said, man, I can win here forever. Why not just do that?
Penn State's heading back to the practice floor to do what they're allowed to do in the summer, which I think is like 4 hours a week or something like that. It's five returnees, it is four recruits, and it's four transfers. Just when you see what Penn State has, not only what we've seen you and I in person, but also on paper, what do you think of the makeup of this team?
Yeah, I like everything about it. If you think about it, how many, not just power five or six or whatever you want, I don't know how many power leagues we have now that the Pac-12 no longer exists, but whatever that number is, how many teams from those leagues or any league has their top five eligible players returning in this era? Steve, it can't be many.
I can tell you, Dick, in the Big Ten.
You said there's recruits, there's transfers, there's style of play. The team was very good by the end of last season. I'm very optimistic for year two under Mike Rhodes and the staff.
Yeah, because I can tell you, Dick, that because as you know, I'll do a lot of off-season work. So the Big Ten schools, mm-hmm. Penn State's the only one of the 18 that has five of its top six scorers back from last year. They're the only one.
Yep. Yeah. No, it's just really unusual. And they'll probably be picked nowhere. And I think you and I will think they'll do a lot better than nowhere. And look, by the end of the season, you know, other than Purdue, was there really anybody in the league that you thought they couldn't play with? Probably not.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, and Purdue ended up playing in the national championship game. I think it's – and the fact that they were able to do what they did with essentially an entirely new roster built on the fly last year, and now they've actually had time for the key guys to come back and the new guys, and yeah, until we see them. I mean, I know one of them, but until we see the rest of them, you don't know for sure, but – the great likelihood is that there's going to be a lot more talent in that group than there was in the group that's no longer there.
And the guy that everybody knows, you've seen, is Kachanze. And I know when you saw him at George School, you loved him.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, he went to Xavier for a season and was kind of miscast as a screening five-man backup who barely got a chance to play, and he'll be a four-man for Penn State. He's a phenomenal athlete who can shoot it all the way out to the three, will be a perfect fit for the pressing, aggressive defense, and will instantly be among the best athletes in the Big Ten. He's a great guy, and for the people that don't know, and I know you do know, Stevie was coached in high school by former Penn State point guard Ben Luber, who's really put together a great program at the George School. They won the Friends League for the first time in school history in Philly for the first, last, not this season, but the season before when Kachi was a senior. So, yeah, he'll be a good player. And I know some of the other recruits are very highly touted and obviously some of the transfers as well. So looking forward to seeing it all, how it comes together for this season.
Always a pleasure. DJ. Analyst.
You got it. Thank you, Steve. I'll talk to you soon.
Oh, he's the best. Dick Girardi. Can't say enough great things about him. But, one thing about, I will say about Jerry West, and it's a general comment, I would hope people would do a better job of understanding history of something, whether it's a player being in it, a coach being in it, a broadcaster being in it, because it allows you to give perspective to fans who think like today is the only thing that like the game was not invented when Michael Jordan started playing. The game was not invented when LeBron started playing. Right? There are a lot of guys before then that had to do what Dick talked about, doubleheaders in Baltimore, playing a game in Hershey, things like that players today don't have to do. There is no league today if those people fail. If they fail, there's no league. Well, there might be a league, but not like it is today. I mean, because of what they did, right? They were able to build a mansion on a pretty solid foundation because of the Jerry West of the world who helped make it that way. All right, we will come back with more in a moment. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.